WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. On this archive edition, we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the film The Godfather. Diane Keaton starred in all three Godfather films as Kay, the young woman who marries Michael Corleone, played by Al Pacino, because she's convinced that he'll stay away from the family business. But instead, he gets deeper in until he ascends to the position of Don. I spoke with Diane Keaton last January after the release of Marvin's Room, for which she earned an Academy Award nomination. Now, I want to ask you about the Godfather movies. You're in all three of them. Mm-hmm. Now, in particularly in the first two movies, you're the woman in a world of men. And
I have to laugh.
What?
It's such a funny. Yes, I was. I was the woman in a world of men.
And that's really brought home at the end of the first Godfather movie where Al Pacino slams the door in your face and makes it really clear that now that he's the head of the family,
he's the head,
you're going to be shut out of a lot of his life.
Oh, it's a world I know nothing about. Do you know, when we were making it, it was just, I didn't know what was going on, and I just did feel left out. I really felt that way. And I also felt, I never understood why he cast me in that, ever. I still don't understand why he cast me in that. I never thought, you know, at that point in my life, people viewed me as being kind of kooky. You know, I was like the kooky actress, and he cast me in that role.
Right,
you're serious.
Yes, and sensible, down to earth, practical.
I'm telling you, it's nothing. I never got it, and I don't know what made him pick me. That was a lucky break.
What was your audition?
Because I'm really glad to be part of that, those movies. Oh, I'm proud to be part of it.
I can only imagine how much. Yeah.
Yeah, but they were a mystery to me. They still are a mystery to me. That's a world I really don't understand. I do understand what she was like, feeling left out.
Mm-hmm.
No one likes that. That's a horrible thing. It's a cold thing.
So in what ways did you feel maybe kind of left out or the outsider on the Godfather sets?
I think in every way I felt the outsider. There was nobody that really became my friend on those movies. I guess I really...
What about Al Pacino, though? You had a relationship with him.
It wasn't like we palled out.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't... Do you know what I mean? He was very private and separate from me. And in the first one, I really didn't know him very well. And I think he was also overwhelmed by the enormity of his part. And he was so... profoundly, I think, great in that movie. I think when he has to murder for the first time, I think that's a very amazing performance he gave.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really a loner. He was really involved with that part. He was separate from the other guys, I felt. And he was in the movie, too. But I just didn't know what the hell was going on. I was, 23? I didn't know anything about movies. I was overwhelmed by the entire enterprise. I really was.
You said you had no idea why Coppola gave you the part. What was your audition like? What had he seen of you?
I don't know. I have no idea. I came in, I auditioned like everybody else. I don't know what it was that he saw in me to cast me instead of Jill Clayburgh. Or whoever else was up. I remember she was up for it. And she and I were kind of similar at that time. We were sort of, you know, together, up for the same parts and things like that. I don't know. I really don't know. I think Michelle Phillips was up for it. I think, who else was up for it? I don't know.
All the gals
at that time, I'm sure, were up for that part.
What did you have to do for the audition?
Read with a lot of different guys. I read with Jimmy Kahn. They couldn't decide on Al Pacino. They just couldn't decide. They didn't know what to do. I think Francis's heart was with Al Pacino, but a lot of people wanted Jimmy Kahn. You know, who else? I don't even know. De Niro wasn't up for that part. But there was a group of guys that I read with, and they just kept reading me with them.
My guest is Diane Keaton. Here she is as Kay Corleone, with Al Pacino as Michael Corleone, in a scene from Godfather 2. Their marriage is on the rocks, and she's just had what he assumes was a miscarriage.
I'll change. I've learned that I have the strength to change. And you'll forget about this miscarriage, and we'll have another child, and we'll go on. You and I. We'll go on.
Oh, Michael. Michael, you are blind. It wasn't a miscarriage. It was an abortion. An abortion, Michael. Just like our marriage is an abortion. Something that's unholy and evil. I didn't want your son, Michael. I wouldn't bring another one of your sons into this world. It was an abortion, Michael. It was a son, and I had it killed because this must all end. I know now that it's over. I knew it then. There would be no way, Michael, no way you could ever forgive me. Not with this Sicilian thing that's been going on for 2,000 years. Oh.
You won't take my children.
I will.
You won't take my children!
You're my children, too.
Our interview with Diane Keaton was recorded last January. A few months before that, Al Pacino joined us on Fresh Air, and we, of course, talked about his role in the Godfather films. When we spoke, his film adaptation of Shakespeare's Richard III had just opened. I'm wondering if you think that there's any connection between Shakespeare and the Godfather films in that. I mean, okay, on the most obvious level, the Shakespearean tragedies and the Godfather films are about men who have risen to power and kill everyone around them and are deformed in some way mm-hmm. by their power or by their ambition for power.
I do know that Francis Coppola is an avid Shakespearean devotee. You know, he knows all of Shakespeare and he reads it constantly. And I know he was reading it when he was writing The Godfather II. And all the Godfathers, he was particularly interested in King Lear. I know he had read Titus Andronicus and of course all the classic Shakespeare plays. So he was involved and immersed in Shakespeare when he was writing Godfather. So maybe some of that rubbed off.
Interesting. I have a couple of questions about the Godfather films. Really, your performance is just one of the great performances.
Thank you.
Your character, Michael Corleone, goes from being, you know, naive, wanting to keep his distance from the family business, but by the end of Godfather I, he's the new power. I'm wondering how you think your body and your speech changed as the character changed.
I think it was the seeing if that transition was always on my mind when I first got the role. Everything was sort of orchestrated to do that, to make that arc, to chart that course in the character, because in the end one wanted to be left with a kind of an enigmatic character.
Mm-hmm.
In which you really don't know quite where you stand with a person like that. And I thought that was what Francis and I were trying to say with this character.
Well, do you watch your performances back, and do they read in the way you thought they would?
I don't really watch them. I don't think I saw any of the Godfather. There's a couple of pictures I've done that I've gone and seen some of it.
Well, you mean you still haven't seen The Godfather?
Oh, no, I've seen it as a whole picture.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't see the
rushes. I haven't seen it in many years.
Right. You'd be the only person in America who hadn't seen it.
No, I've seen it. No. I just didn't go see the rushes much. I think I saw, because everything was about that transition.
Right.
And I knew that Francis, who cast me and went to great pains to cast me in the part. I mean, nobody wanted me, and he was really the only reason I got the role, because of his adamant insistence on it. And so I felt that he understood where he wanted to take it.
If nobody wanted you, except for Coppola in that performance, did it make you feel insecure when you got the part?
Oh, yeah. I mean, actors feel insecure anyway when they don't want you for the
right.
role. It sort of,
right.
It sort of magnifies it a little. But I felt that it was it was okay, because, I don't know, I was young, and I really thought, I remember one time saying to Francis, you know, I usually don't like to be around where people don't want me, you know. And he said, well, I said, why don't you get someone else? He said, no. No. I tell you, I was at that time thinking that it was a real difficult job, and I was a little reluctant myself to do it because I thought, if this is a problem now and they don't even want me, and it's a tough role anyway because it's sort of all insular and stuff, and not one that I always thought I should play Sonny when I first read it, you know. I thought that was the role because it was more showy, more obviously, and it is a terrific role. But I didn't know what was on his mind when he cast me as Michael Corleone, believe it or not. So it was, then after I saw it, I could see, you know, the reasoning there. I could see it.
Al Pacino recorded last fall